Today is January 29th, 1976, and I'm talking with Miss Barbara Turkle. Barbara, would you like to tell me what your occupation is at the funeral home?
I'm the secretary treasurer of the corporation.
Fine. And the name of the corporation?
It's Cassidy and Turkle Incorporated.
Cassidy Turkle Incorporated, which is a very reputable and longtime member of the Alliance community as a funeral home. We notice right away that there's quite a similarity there between your name, Barbara Turkle, and the name Cassidy and Turkle Funeral Home. Would you like to explain what connection you have both with the Turkle name and Cassidy?
I would be glad to. It's even more so because my name is Barbara Cassidy Turkle. My mother was Ada Cassidy. My father was Edgar Turkle. My mother was the daughter of Daniel Brinton Cassidy, and only she was an only child.
I see. Let's go back and take just the Cassidy family for now, because we have quite an interest in them in the history of the Alliance community. Let's go back to the first Cassidy to come to Alliance. He was.
Well, as far as we know, in about 1821, the Cassidy family first moved to the Alliance area. And Samuel Cassidy and his family came here from New Jersey. They purchased about 80 acres of land for a total of $400 or $5 an acre. This virgin land was in the vicinity of the American Steel Foundries and the Weibert Lumber Yards. Later, Samuel Cassidy purchased additional acreage adjoining, until at one time he owned all of the land from Union Avenue to Mahoning, from Patterson Street to on the north to Cambridge on the south. He is said to have built one of the first frame houses in Alliance, the location of which was at the spot in which the Christ United Methodist Church Education Building now stands.
Now that building would be on Broadway
And Freedom.
and Freedom Street. And of course, to appreciate this, one would have to realize that what they called at that time virgin land is very much the heart of Alliance, with the large manufacturing industries that you've mentioned situated on that land now. And the sum of $400 for how many acres did he have?
80.
80 acres? Why, it's many, many, many thousands of times that value now. Well, Samuel came here first and had this property, which is considerable amount of property if he owned from Union Avenue to Mahoning Avenue. It's quite a
It's
large
just quite a tract.
acreage, yes. And at that time, we think that he was living in a frame house, which would have been the first frame house here.
One of the first, I think, that they, that at least this is what it's said to have been, one of the first frame houses in Alliance. And prior to that time, the settlers had lived in log cabins around here, which they constructed from the timber on the land they had to clear.
And it could be that Samuel and his family lived in a log cabin before they managed to build
Built
their
the house.
frame house, too.
Built
And of
this.
course, if this was in 1821, this is prior to the time there was even an alliance, because at that time it was three separate communities. Fascinating. Well, then what happened to Samuel?
Well, Samuel and Hannah had Joshua. One of their sons was Joshua. And in 1881, he and his son William bought the furniture and undertaking business of George Scherer, located on the present site of the G.C. Murphy store on Main Street. And Joshua, by the way, was one of the Professor Hartshorne's first students when he opened his select school in Mount Union in 1846. Joshua also went around on horseback to recruit students to come to the college in that time.
Isn't that wonderful? So there's quite a connection here now with the business starting out not really as a funeral home, huh? As a furniture store, and then undertaking business as well. Why do you suppose they were connected with the furniture store?
Well, this was the history of the business. As they were called, undertaking establishments were always part of a furniture store, because of the fact that the cabinet makers made the caskets that were used.
This, of course, would be different from the funeral business today, would it not?
Oh.
I'll bet that Cassidy and Turkle doesn't have a cabinet maker on the premises anymore. So the Turkle, well, through your family background as a Cassidy, now there is a connection with two Alliance businesses. One being the funeral business that still exists, and the other the furniture business
oh, yes,
as well.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And now the furniture business that was down on Main Street after it was where the Murphy store is, was then my grandfather built, grandfather Daniel Brenton Cassidy and Joshua built the building, which is next to the Alliance Hardware and where is now used by the armed forces for their recruiting there. And that was a five-story building, furniture store there. They sold China ware to China. That was the China store. Part of it was the China store. And a lot of people in Alliance, Sarah Haviland, China came from that store.
Oh, that's quite a well-known name to collectors now, too, Haviland China. Well, then that building would have been located next to the Spring Holdsworth
yes.
Company.
Mm-hmm.
And in my recollection, people who talk about Spring Holdsworth, which was a very well-known department store, always mention the fire.
Yeah, late
this
20s, that was.
Building of your grandfather's been damaged?
No, it wasn't damaged.
That's amazing, because it was so close to that other. So it was five stories, and it was built by, this would have been your great-grandfather and your great-great-grandfather.
No, my grandfather and my great-grandfather.
And great-grandfather. Mm-hmm. Father and son who built the building
yeah.
as a furniture store and also carried on the undertaking business there, too. That would have been the first location then.
No, that was the second location. See, where the Murphy store was the first location.
Yes,
you
I'm
see
getting
Murphy
confused
store.
Here. Mm-hmm. All right, Mercy,
yes.
Murphy's
yes.
was the first location,
yeah.
and then this was the second.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then from there, do you know where they took it?
Then the furniture store stayed, was a furniture store, but as they called it in those days, the undertaking rooms were at 31 North Linden. Well, it's there now. The recreation down, or whatever they call that
I
down
see.
There now.
Yes, Corny's restaurant used to be
yes,
there
uh-huh,
in that building,
uh-huh,
and
yeah.
there is a bowling alley mm-hmm. called something
yeah.
like Alliance Recreation
yeah.
there
mm-hmm.
now, which would have put it close to the railroad tracks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And
yes.
before that, I think, was the Ford Garage was there many years ago.
Interesting. Would that have been the location that I recall hearing someone else talk about the funeral parlor or undertaking business being there, and also a watering trough for the horses?
I don't know that. I don't know that.
Well, that's before your time. But
the cars were kept there. I know they had the ambulance service there, and also the funeral cars there. But most cars for funerals were hired. There was a livery in Alliance, and most of them, the family cars and the cars that are now owned by funeral homes, were at that time most of them hired.
So
the livery service.
They didn't maintain a fleet, they rented them when
and
they
the
needed
reason
them.
That it was not called, I mean, they were not funeral homes in those days, was because nothing was, all the work that was done and the funerals were held in the homes. And
I see. So the undertaking aspect was simply the handling, perhaps, of the body and the
yes,
providing
and
of a casket.
And yes, right, right.
Mm-hmm. And then the livery service.
Yes, uh-huh.
Isn't that interesting? You mentioned also ambulances. This is something now that we don't find associated with too
no,
many funeral homes
no,
anymore,
this,
do
this
we?
No, very few funeral homes now. There are a few around that have their own ambulance service. But this is, it's been found. It was a great one of the things that we wanted to get out of the ambulance business for several good many years ago was the fact that we felt that we could give much better service on funerals because we always had to be on call for ambulance service. It meant that we could not devote our time to the funerals.
Yes.
So when we were very happy when this was taken over by an ambulance company.
Yes. The use of an ambulance and the use of a hearse, would it ever have happened that they were one in the same vehicle? Did they use them for different?
Sometimes some people did. We never did at that time. We always had a straight ambulance, it was called. And it was painted maybe blue and white or red and white or some other color. Other than the funeral cars.
Yes.
And of course, at that time, they were always black.
Mm-hmm.
And any cars that were used in funerals were always black.
I would imagine it would give people quite a different sort of a ride or a feeling to know that they were being rushed in a hearse somewhere.
I would think so too.
Than an ambulance. Though I'm sure there were some that used them interchangeably. When we were talking a while ago, I think you mentioned something about the ambulances that distinguished them definitely as ambulances. You were talking about ambulances that were used to take home the new babies and their mothers from the hospital.
Yes, at that time the mothers stayed in the hospital maybe 10 days to 2 weeks, and they never went home. Very seldom that they went home in a car. They were always taken home in an ambulance because this was the thing that was to be done, because they didn't move around like they do nowadays when the babies are born.
It was quite a different attitude toward having
a
child, yes, than what we realize today. You had mentioned that in the early years, too, the undertaker was an undertaker only and provided much more limited service than the funeral home does today. Do you recall when this started to change?
Our funeral home was started in, or we went into the place where we are now in 1927. And this was about the time that other funeral homes also, other funeral establishments became funeral homes about this time.
Mm-hmm. Were there any reasons that they decided to take it out of the home? Were there perhaps laws passed that pertained to having bodies in the home, or?
No, I don't know that. I don't know that why they started that.
Because I know we've all heard in the past of people who had had the funerals or the bodies lying in state in the home. Whereas this just is something unusual today. Then I'm sure it was quite common, but today it would be very unusual to have this happen. Well, interesting change in our ways. Funeral services have changed, and the services provided by a funeral home, too. There's so much more, it seems, done today than they would have in those early
years.
Yes,
I think that, I believe that there are, I think it's either 99 or 100 details that are taken care of by the funeral home for the family that they're serving, and would consist for instance, the filling out of the death certificate, giving the newspaper notices to the newspaper, and then making all the different forms for veterans and such thing. And I think that they have counted at least 99.
There's quite a bit of legal work involved here. That
not legal work. It's getting ready for the form filling. Really, yes. Really.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That's involved at that time,
mm-hmm.
And even sending a notice to the newspaper. Well. Who would think of that detail at a time like that, and yet how important it is.
Yes,
and
yes.
I would imagine you get a lot of phone calls from those who haven't read it in the paper and save the family from getting all of those phone calls too. Yes. Plus the support given at this time too, and the handling of the arrangements with the minister.
And the cemetery.
And the cemetery. Mm-hmm. It's quite a bit. 100 different details to coordinate. Quite a service. Let's see now. We've gotten down to Daniel, your
grandfather.
Grandfather. in the Cassidy and Turkle Funeral Home, but we haven't yet come to a Turkle on the scene.
Well, my mother, as the rest of the family had, went to Mount Union, and there she met a young man by the name of Edgar Harold Turkle, who was from Fairview, Ohio, which is down in the southern part of Ohio. And they courted and were married in 1905. My father was working on a newspaper in Pittsburgh after they were married, and they moved to Pittsburgh. Well, my grandfather needed help in the furniture store. And so my father came back to Alliance to live, and my father went in business with my grandfather. And then in 1914, they formed a partnership, and it was then Cassidy and Turkle. And from then on, from 1914 on.
Which has become the name that we recognize today. I think this brings out the second time we've mentioned Mount Union College. First with the, which was it, Joshua, who went out on horseback and helped recruit students. So he was a Mount Union graduate. You mentioned a Mount Union student.
Right.
You mentioned your mother, Ada, attended Mount Union College. Your father, Edgar Turkle.
I also found with my mother's things after she passed on a receipt from Mount Union College dated spring of 1873 that my grandfather, who was Daniel Brinton Cassidy, had paid his spring term to Mount Union in 1873.
Do you remember how much he paid?
It didn't say on the receipt.
Too bad.
That's what I'm so sorry about.
Well, we know he paid anyway.
It was paid.
I can imagine it's considerably different from what the tuition would be today. So that's several. Well, now in addition to your mother and father, you attended Mount Union,
yes,
did you not?
Well, all four of us attended at some time or other. Four children of us.
Now we have to see now. So this would be Edgar Harold Turkle and Ada Cassidy Turkle had four children. Mm-hmm. Let's make sure we get their names.
There's Rebecca, who is known as Betty.
Yes.
Turkle Donaldson. She was first. She went to Mount Union, and then I went, and then I think Brenton went, but he just took music because he went to Carnegie Tech, and then Ted went to Mount Union too. That's Edgar H. Jr.
Jr. Mm-hmm. Right. So that would be another generation of Turkles.
And then Betty's daughter went to Barbara Donaldson, whose name now is Taylor, and Barbara went to Mount Union. And then Ted's boys, two of Ted's boys went to Mount Union. So it's, there have been five generations, I think, of students
of
at Mount
Turkles.
Union. Of Cassidy
descendants,
yes.
Who've gone to Mount Union.
Mm-hmm.
But how interesting that not only were they, you would have to consider them one of the first families because they were settled here before this became Alliance. This is our first, certainly, first college, and how closely they were connected with the development of both. Interesting. Well, then we have the funeral home now with your father in partnership with
my grandfather.
His grandfather, who would have been his father-in-law.
Mm.
Now, what happened after that point? This would have been, the business would have been located now at the current?
No. The business was located at the funeral business was located at 31 North Linden until 1927.
I see.
And at that time, the home where the funeral home now is on South Union, 75 South Union, which had been built by CYK family.
Let's get that spelled out. That's CYK was the last name,
yes,
K-A-Y.
Mm-hmm.
This was the home that they had built at 75 South Union, and we recognize the K name, I think mostly because of Gertrude K.
Yeah.
We have heard her mentioned, and as a matter of fact, the library has one of her paintings, but she was quite a well-known illustrator of children's books and an artist.
And writer.
And a writer
yes,
as well.
Children's books, lovely books.
And I believe your brother Brinton, who also is connected with writing and illustrating children's books, has mentioned her as one of his inspirations.
Yes. She helped him a great deal with his getting started in his work.
So the Kay family built this beautiful home. It then went to...
The D.W. Crist then bought it from the Kays.
This would have been Dylan W. Crist.
No. Well, no. It would be Dylan's father. Now, I don't know whether they always just called him D.W., and I don't know whether his name was Dylan or
okay.
not.
Okay, so it would have been his father.
Yes. It would have been his father that bought the home then.
Then
27 was when they cast in Terkel, bought the home then.
So that's a house that has a history behind it, too. It's nice to see that it's still around because many of the other beautiful homes of Alliance.
Well, we have tried very hard to keep it up because it is, the rooms are beautiful. They're large and they are with high ceilings and the woodwork in the carving on the woodwork is particularly interesting. Sometime when you are in, you should notice that at the top of the pillars in the south room, the large south room, have little cherubs at the top of each one of those pillars that's done by hand.
And this is something well worth preserving
yes,
because
yes,
you just certainly. Don't find it in homes
And the leaded
anymore.
Glass in the windows and the platter is lovely too. You know,
it's a large double door on the front of the house, and the leaded glass in the evening when the lights are on it, I've driven by, it sparkles.
Mm-hmm.
It sparkles.
Yes.
It's just beautiful. And there's something about the chandelier that hangs on the porch too that only brings that out. Yes,
I'm glad you mentioned that because that's relatively new. We think that it adds a great deal.
It does. It's quite a gracious home, and I think probably the character of the home lends itself to the funeral business too, because it's a very open and very gracious and comfortable home. Okay, so now. During your father's time, then, the move occurred to the present location. Your father, in spite of the fact he started out in journalism, found a vocation, I think, in the funeral business. At least this is what I understand from what little I've been reading and talking to people who knew him. He did quite a bit for the business and was very active.
Yes, not only in the city, as far as the funeral business in Alliance, but it really went as high as a national level because he was quite active in a national organization. And during World War II, he was appointed to one of the boards that he went to Washington and worked with the Army at the memorial service with the Army in returning them. Particularly in returning they called the repatriated, when they would return the boys who had died overseas, and they would bring them back to Alliance, to the local cemetery.
Mm-hmm.
And he was very active and worked very closely with the government on this.
And that would have been quite a job, making those arrangements to bring bodies back from foreign soil, because you get into...
Well, you had to work so closely with the government and the Army on
yes.
that. But there was a very good relationship there with this. And he also was president of this of the National Selected Morticians for a year, and then was on the board and worked nationally as well as there. So his scope was broad.
Indeed it was. The National Selected Morticians is the professional organization for people in that field, is
yes,
it not?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I have seen that name before. Interesting. I think he not only was known in his own profession, but if I remember right, he did quite a bit in the community as well, was he not?
Yes. He was very, very outgoing and very... he loved people, and he loved community work, and he liked to be he liked being in the limelight at any time that he could be. He enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was from the he was on the board at the college and board of trustees at the college. He had been president two different times of the Chamber of Commerce. And many, many things that he was in. His last big project, of course, was the hospital, when it became the Citizens Hospital Association. And when they built the hospital, he was on the. Now, this is not now.
No, but
this
I understand.
This is when in the 40s, I think it was late 40s and 50s, when they did this and the remodeling of the hospital. And they had and the great disappointments when one of the levies didn't go through to get money for this project, but he was on the building commission for that.
Hmm. As well. This would have been the period when they built the largest building that belongs to that hospital. We
yes.
are currently adding on to that
yes,
building.
Yes, but then there was an addition between the two. There was an addition that was put on there when they rejuvenated the old part of the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
There and that says this really is the third time that they've done something to the hospital.
I don't think unless someone has been involved in it, they realize how much labor there is involved in getting a levy mm-hmm. for
no,
funds
right,
to
yeah.
pass.
Yeah. And in our household, we ate and slept and thought all the time about what kind of a bed was the best kind of a bed, hospital bed, and whether this one was better than that one, and whether the tray would be this kind or that kind, and this went on day after day and day after day until all these things were decided that we had this enough.
In other words,
yeah.
these became the subjects as a dinner right. table,
yes,
perhaps.
Yes, they were.
And I'm sure with four children to sit around and give opinions,
yeah.
it was probably a pretty lively discussion. Oh, well, your father then was active right up until mm-hmm. the time he passed away?
He, there probably would have been, there were a couple years there after he stayed at home, but he was... He asked me one time, he said, when somebody asks you, how am I, what do you say? And I said, I just tell them you're fragile.
Oh.
He said, well, that was a good idea.
That's
because
lovely.
he was not going to business at that time. At that time, he had turned the business over to my brother Ted and to me.
I see.
To take care of them the whole way through. But he loved to have, he wanted to know what was going on every
I'm
minute.
Sure
so,
that he had to have reports.
He did.
Well, since it was so much a part of him, and
yes,
he was
yes,
such an active
yes.
person, too,
yeah,
the fact that he was physically restrained probably didn't keep him from being interested in what was going on. And he then passed away when?
In February 1971.
1971. Mm-hmm. And your mother followed him?
3 years later.
3 years
mm-hmm.
later.
Hmm. So, yeah.
Then your brother now, Edgar Jr., is in charge of. He is president
he
of the
is
corporation.
He is president, general manager of the corporation. Mm-hmm.
And your title is
secretary
treasurer. Mm-hmm. And who now you have a partnership that involves outside of the Cassidy and Turkle family because you have a different vice president.
Well, but that's not part of the corporation. That's just an officer.
Oh,
I see. As an officer, but not part of the family still owns. I mean, the corporation is still
holds title to.
Yes,
I understand. You mentioned now that your job is secretary treasurer, and I think. Barbara, you've held that position in other areas of the town, haven't you? Because you, like your father, have been active in the community and involved in several different organizations.
What I had mentioned was the fact that most every organization, I'm a joiner, and whatever organization it was, I think I've been treasurer at some time or other. Very few times have I been president because I don't like being president, but I don't mind being secretary or treasurer or something. So
But there's a lot of work being involved being secretary treasurer, and it implies a person of responsibility as
Well, I've
well.
always felt that I think people who live in a town and who enjoy the comforts and the and all the things that we have and that, well, for instance, things like the Community Concert Association and the YW and as women's, I'm talking about women now as
Yes.
far as the YW and the YM and all these things. I think that it behooves any of us to take a part in them. And I think we should give of ourselves in those things.
It seems that it might help people who sometimes criticize or don't understand or complain to come and take a part in it, and
Yes,
perhaps
yes.
they might find that it
Yes.
isn't as easily
Yes.
done as they think it is from their outside vantage point. Do you want to name some of the organizations? We talked about the YWCA. What about
Well,
Quota Club?
yes, I was president of Quota Club. That I did. Let me see. Well, I've
You've
been quite active in my in the alumna of the sorority at the college where that I belong to in Tri Delta
Tri Delta.
through the years. I've done that and still kept up my interest, which with the
Let's see, we were talking, Barbara, about your activities in the community. We had mentioned the office of treasurer that you had held, and we talked about the sorority, the Tri-Delts, and we were going to mention some of the
Well,
other
then
organizations.
the Women's Division, or Women's Division, Mount Union College Women. I've been active in that and had an office at one time in the National Cabinet of the Mount Union Women. And they're the group that had to take care of the booths for the football games. And then I have given to the college through the years over $100,000
Oh, that's wonderful.
for that number of their projects
If they take care
there.
of booths at the football games, that's a working group.
Right.
Energetic. And let's see, I think, what about the Alliance Women's Club?
Well, I've been treasurer of the Alliance Women's Club back in the
Uh-huh.
days when they did not have an executive secretary as they do now there, and I kept all the books. And sometimes I had quite a time with them.
It would be, because that's been quite
Course,
a.
there weren't quite as many members now then as there are now in the Women's
But it's a business operation,
Yes, it is.
and the bookkeeping would have been quite a sizable job there. What about, you had referred to Women's Division of the Chamber of Commerce. You are currently active in that
Yes, I'm
organization.
vice chairman of that as of
Right.
now.
Anything else in.
Well, I'm a member of Coterie, which is one of the oldest women's organizations in Alliance. And Quota Club, I think I've mentioned that before.
You've been an officer in Quota Club
Yes.
too.
I don't want to say this to sound like an obituary that I'm
Oh,
naming
we're
all
not.
the
Oh my
things.
goodness, no. No, but these are things that document a woman's role not only in a business and alliance, but also her activities in the community too. You had mentioned that in connection with your profession, you had attended some schools of management.
Yes, these schools were held particularly, they were held in Evanston at the National Foundation of Funeral Service, and they were for women in funeral service. And they dealt, with the I don't mean conduct, but with your, with people, your conduct with people, and also from the business end, and most every, it was a very short school, but term, but it was quite enlightening both times that I went. I enjoyed it very much too.
And these were just four women in management. Do you remember when they took place?
Well, one of them was in 1956, and then the other one that I went to was in the late 60s. They still have them.
Before
and there were many, many wives there of funeral directors who wanted to know the business and how to manage it. And it's an excellent place for any woman who is interested in the funeral business. I do not have a license of a funeral director's or an embalmer's license. If I were younger, I would have a funeral director's license because I could get that without getting an embalmer's license. And I really should, if I were younger and active in the business, I would have one. Because of the laws in the state of Ohio are such that it has to be a funeral director to do many things.
Or to perhaps sign different papers and things.
No, simply to do some of the services.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that amazing? Mm-hmm. It was rather far-sighted for them to have schools of management for women in the 1950s because that was kind of ahead of the sudden interest in women's lib and women involved in managing things. But yet...
The National Foundation of Funeral Service is a very far-seeing and progressive group of people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Must be. This is obvious from what they were doing here. Do you find many women involved in management of funeral homes?
Not too many. Not too many. That I know of. But there might be more than I know. But I don't think that there are very many. Sometimes a wife takes it over after her, if her husband is deceased, she will take over the business and run it. And sometimes they do excellent job.
Mm-hmm. But as a profession, it has been one that is more geared to our man less participation from the woman. Mm-hmm. This, of course, did not happen in your mother's case. She was not a partner or involved in it in any way at all. But yet you are through the more of the office function, through office management and secretary treasurer. Do you think that there will be more involvement on the part of women as time goes on? Do you
see
it happening?
I hope so. I think so.
Well, it seems as though there aren't any doors closed to women these days.
No.
In any profession. Some of the things that your father did in the funeral home operation, we had talked earlier about many of the firsts that he brought in the development of this service. I think you mentioned that he was the first to call it a funeral home.
No, I think that the, as I remember, now when we moved up on Union to that, I think it was the first funeral home.
That
was the thing that now there were had other ones through the country there. And now one of the things that we have had here that we do, which he started, was the what we call the Cassidy and Turkle Provident Trust Fund. Now this is set up with both the banks in their trust department so that the money goes directly there. people can, older people, it appeals to, and people who want to feel that their funeral is paid for, mm-hmm. and they come in and they we sign up, give them this book, telling them that they can get the money out at any time that they want to by writing a letter. They have 15 days that we ask them to allow 15 days for this. And if they should need the money at any time, it can be taken out of the bank. It draws interest and is used for their funeral at their time at the time that they're gone. Wow. And this has been very something that a great many people have wanted to do. They also can make payments of amounts of in the amount of $25 each whenever they want to add to whatever amount they put in.
This would be a wonderful thing for people who are farsighted enough to make such arrangements and don't want to.
And people who are in nursing homes. They are given, many of them, the state allows them so much each month for their personal needs. And if they have no other need, if their needs are all taken care of, this can be applied. Their funeral can be paid ahead of time. It's become quite it's something that people have appreciated very much that have used it.
Do you
it's
find
legal?
Well, yes, it would be a very legal document, and this gets into the professional funeral director's expertise in dealing with these different services. Do you find that more people at this particular time are willing to make arrangements for their funeral in advance?
Yes, the whole attitude has changed a great deal about that. It used to be taboo, the subject would be taboo, and now it is not. And I think one of the things that has caused this is this interest that the schools and the churches have had on teaching their children and giving them the background of death and dying. And of having these talks, they come and they go all through the funeral home. They're told every step that's taken, and the mystery is taken away from it, which I think is an excellent idea.
Mm-hmm. Well,
they also are now the experts are saying that it is better for. It used to be that the children were kept entirely away from any thought of death or seeing deceased or anything like that. Now they are urged to become a part of it with the family.
Perhaps this is a return to the former cycle, because of course when you mentioned that it was an undertaking parlor and the funerals were held at home, mm-hmm. death was a part of mm-hmm. the family at that time. Now when these things were removed to the funeral home, we went through this cycle mm-hmm. where children were kept away from mm-hmm. it, and now perhaps we're going back to what perhaps was mm-hmm. a more enlightened way mm-hmm. of looking at it mm-hmm. and a less fearful way, because what we don't know about we tend to fear too. Yes, the subject of death and dying is currently very much of an interest. There have been several books, very fine books written on the subject. But
and many in the schools, for instance, at Kent and at Mount Union and some of the other schools are having classes in this too.
Mm-hmm. And you had mentioned you even have high schools touring the funeral
groups
home.
In high school.
Do you find they come up with some interesting comments about
their questions are very good that they ask. Mm-hmm. So this is either Ted, my brother, or Doug Mell, who is with us and is associated with us, either one of them takes the group through and explains all about it, and then they're given these some of the documents that and shown how everything is done. And I think this is the thing that has become quite prevalent that now, which used to be kept as rather mysterious. As I said before, the mystery's been taken out of it, which is good.
Which should perhaps bring a more healthy mm-hmm. approach to the subject.
I think so.
Yes. It's interesting that even the subject of death used to be taboo, and perhaps that's how we came to develop so many euphemistic terms,
Mm-hmm.
such as passing away,
Mm-hmm.
going on, or
Mm-hmm.
other terms to be used to avoid saying the word, too. Just out of curiosity, since so many ceremonies these days are becoming changed, or we are being encouraged to do our own thing, so to speak, and I think of this more in relation to weddings now, because you see that the young couples preferring to write their own wedding ceremony and have things done in a little different fashion. Has anyone requested a different sort of a funeral? Or?
Oh, yes, we have this, but when it comes down, almost always they go back to tradition.
Tradition.
We do have some that are different and some that, and this is whatever the family wishes. It's our desire to do however they wish.
Yes.
And sometimes they want a friend to read something, some poem that the deceased has particularly liked or something like that, which we do, which we make arrangements for.
Mm-hmm.
And particularly the older people still go by tradition. They want to.
Somehow I think at that time it's much more of a comfort. They look for strength in the traditional ceremony. And in it there is a great deal of strength, too. Well, let's see. Have we covered anything else that might have been under your father's administration in the funeral home?
Oh, I wish I could think of something like that.
Let's finish off the business that we left sort of high and dry back here, which was the furniture business. There was a period then when the Cassidy and Turkle dropped the furniture business.
Well, the furniture business was known as the J.S. Cassidy and Son Furniture Store. It was never Cassidy and Turkle.
I see.
It was the funeral business was the Cassidy and Turkle. But the other was the J.S. Cassidy and Sons. That was Joshua and his sons,
and
Daniel and Sam, that were in business with him in the furniture business.
So at some point in time, after your father, Edgar, became part of the corporation, it was only a funeral home, mm-hmm. and the furniture business now no longer exists.
Yes, but because it was the furniture business was sold. I don't remember exactly what along when that was, but it was sold.
Probably was prior to 1927, because
yes,
that would have been the time when they.
I would think so.
Turkle's name was brought in.
No, it was brought in 1914. The Turkle.
I don't have all my dates down right, do I?
27 is when we moved up to the
home on Union
Avenue. Yes, up to the home on Union.
Okay. We've traced pretty well the history of the funeral home and its different locations. How about the home you reside in, Barbara?
Well, that's my grandfather and grandmother built that in 1912. And it's our home when we were young was over on Overlook. And then after my grandmother passed on, which was in 1926. And we moved over with my grandfather into that home. He enlarged the house, mm-hmm. and we moved over with him. And I'm still living in the house.
So this is the original, this is an original family home?
Yes, yes. Uh-huh,
goes back to 1912. Mm-hmm. And it's located, we should locate that now too.
It's across the street from it's a white brick house across the street from Presser Music Hall.
Right, on Union Avenue.
Mm-hmm, on Union Avenue.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I think that I don't know whether getting back to the Cassidy to my grandfather Daniel Brenton Cassidy, whether we got back to the fact that they sold their before they built this home on Union Avenue, they had sold their home at the corner of Market and Arch Street to the government, and that's where the post office is now.
Right. We had been discussing the properties there, and I think we left off somewhere around Christ United Methodist Church on Broadway. Yes. Yes, I think that's an important part. At one time, there was a home on the corner of Market and Arch Street.
Market and Arch, where the post office is.
Where the post office is.
And that is where my mother lived there at the time that she was going to college. It was at that corner.
Which, of course, is just one block up from Main Street in Alliance and not at all a residential district today. But then that property was sold to the government.
Yes.
And if I remember right, you said that house still stands.
Yeah, the house is still, as I understand, I think that the house is down on the corner of Ely and Garfield, would be on the northeast corner. And has always been very well kept up.
Anything else that we missed in that history of those families?
I don't think so.
Pretty much covered it all?
Mm-hmm. I think so.
I think it covers quite an interesting segment of Alliance history, because it does go back not only to an early business in Alliance, but to a very, very early family.
I think another one of the first things, going back to that with my father, one of the first in Alliance was the fact that in 1932, we put air conditioning in that funeral home. And the Ohio, which was then the Ohio Public Service, they didn't even have it. And they were the ones that sold it. And we were one of the first buildings in Alliance to have air conditioning. And that air conditioning unit is still working and is still cooling that house beautifully.
That's amazing. That truly is. Yes, that would have been quite a first for a funeral business,
I
would say quite a necessary one as well.
It was done, of course, for the comfort of the people.
Mm-hmm.
But that was 1932 with that air conditioning.
That would have been quite a renovation, too, because you are taking an older existing building.
These are units that are in each room, a separate unit. Now, a separate unit, but run from one compressor, which is in the basement.
Well, now that was a very clever way of doing
it,
because otherwise you would have had to...
It isn't in the walls or anything like that.
Yes, you would have had to have done...
When we have thought about replacing it, we've been told to keep it just as long as possible because it does a better job than any of these other ones.
Well, and there would be all of this renovation and going through the adding ductwork through the walls and everything. That was a very clever way of doing it.
Well, that was the way they did it.
And must be an excellent piece of equipment to have operated that period of time.
Well, there's one. It's a box. They're not particularly pretty, but we have painted them to match the walls as much as possible to keep them so that they don't stand out like sore thumbs.
I've never seen them. Well, they blend in. I've never noticed that they were separate.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. That was one of the firsts.
Well, your father developed quite a few firsts.
He had great foresight. And he also had the courage to try things and to do things, to go ahead with things. Mm-hmm. And he kept up on the new things that came into the business of any kind at all.
And of course, if he was involved with the professional organization at the national level, he would have had access to a lot of ideas and provided a lot too, I would imagine. Mm-hmm. Anything else you recall?
I think that's
pretty much covered.
I think so. Mm-hmm. I do wish I could think more of the some of those first, but I can't. So it's
a dynamic organization led by a far-sighted man was bound to bring in a lot of firsts into the business, and certainly we've enjoyed hearing about it, Barbara. And we appreciate you taking time to come with us.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.